We've often said there's a reason God put ears on us, so that I have something to hold my glasses and to hold my hearing aids and to hold my mask and to hold all those other things. I mean, how would we hold things if we didn't have ears there to do that? Anyway, folks, also several things along the way. We'd appreciate your continued faithfulness with the offerings. We're not allowed to take up an offering in of passing of plate and all that kind of stuff, but there is one in the back if you so inclined on the way out. We'll appreciate it. It is frustrating to me that I cannot stand at the back door and greet and say hello to each and every one of you. I will probably try to get outside, though, to be able to do that. It's a little bit safer there. But again, we'll have to keep our social distancing and all that kind of thing. It's nice to see several of you. I see some faces venturing out that I haven't seen for a while, so hopefully there are more and more people that are feeling well. Maybe if I'm careful and cautious, I can do that. And those of you that are watching by way of the computer, do understand there are more and more trying to do that. We're trying to make sure we keep social distancing here in the church and give opportunities, and there are places, so that if people are feeling like maybe it's getting closer to time where you could think about it and feel safe, we're doing all we can to have it as safe as possible for you. And again, there are seats and places for that. So we'll hope you'll consider as you're praying about when the time is right for you, because your church family looks forward to having you home. You're home away from home, of course, because we're not in heaven yet, and we're not claiming that this is, that the church is heaven. But, man, I'm looking forward to the time when we can actually have everybody together and greet each other and talk positively and maybe even sit around the table and eat together and all that. All that is dream right now because we're not there yet, but I do look forward to it and pray that God give us that chance soon. Tyler was sitting at the supper table, and he was doing something unusual. How is it that moms tend to notice when young people do something a little bit unusual? Mom knew that Tyler likes to eat, but tonight Tyler was kind of moving his vegetables around on the plate. And Mom said, "What's wrong?" And Tyler said, "Rex brought a chameleon to school today." A chameleon is a lizard. A chameleon is a lizard that can change its colors. And the teacher says the reason the lizard, a chameleon, changes its colors is so that it can blend in with its background around it and the things that are around it, so that its enemies can't see it and grab it and eat it. Mom says, "Yeah. What's that have to do with you moving your vegetables around on your plate?" "Well, Rex and I were playing with the chameleon when we were supposed to be studying. And I'm supposed to tell you, Mom, that I'm kind of in trouble because I kind of was playing with the chameleon instead of doing my schoolwork." And Mom said, "Tyler, didn't you tell me a couple days ago, this very same week, that you were having trouble with concentrating and staying? And didn't I get a note from your teacher earlier in the week? 2 in 1 week, Tyler?" And Tyler said, in typical child honesty, But it's all Rex's fault. Whenever Rex is around, we get in trouble. And Mom said, what was that animal you were playing with again? It's called a chameleon, Mom. And it changes its colors. And Mom said, and why are you changing your colors when you're around Rex? But it's Rex's fault. No, it's not Rex's fault that you're the chameleon changing colors. That's on you. Maybe you ought to try some other friends. If you can't control your colors. Today, let's take a walk down memory lane. Let's try to do some remembering of some things in our scriptures that we know and know well. Let's do some encouraging of ourselves and each other from the scriptures on a subject we know very well. 2 Timothy, little book of 2 Timothy, the New Testament in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and boasters and proud and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and unthankful and unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power thereof. Has anybody seen anything like that? When we look around, is there anybody that says, you know, I feel like when I look around, it feels like it's getting worse? Is there anybody that says, when I look around, it feels like the wrong side is winning? Have we ever been looking around and feeling kind of alone and kind of off on the side and marginalized in a world that seems to be going amok? Verse 10. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of living, purpose, faith, long-suffering. You've followed in verse 11, my persecutions and afflictions and the things that have happened to me. And you've noticed that the Lord has delivered me every time. Paul speaking here to Timothy. Verse 13, he says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But notice verse 14. But as for you. Tyler might feel frustrated in the sense that he was playing with the chameleon when he wasn't supposed to be, and the chameleon can change colors. But Tyler, why is your spiritual experience changing colors at odd times? How can this happen? And Paul is saying, but as for you, but as for you, let's not be changing our colors, Timothy, but as for you, continue in the things that you have learned. And that from childhood, what have you learned? From childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Let's just talk today our common encouragement of remembering our salvation and our faith in Jesus Christ. And how do we get there? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the person, the people of God, may be complete, thoroughly equipped. Evil people, evil stuff, bad things going on, but as for you, don't play chameleon. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. There's a pretty famous passage of Scripture in Romans chapter 1. Many Christians have it memorized. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, in what? What's the it? Back to 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For the gospel of Christ is the power of God to salvation for everybody who believes. Verse 17, for in it, what is the it? The gospel is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith. What is the gospel? Remember, folks, let's remind ourselves, the gospel is good news. The gospel is not bad news. The gospel is not sad news. The gospel is good news. What is the good news? It's in Romans chapter 1. It's the first four verses. In Romans chapter 1, the first four verses, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of Man or the Son of David. So that means he is human. Jesus lived, he died, he is resurrected. Jesus has the keys to the grave is what that means. The gospel is Jesus, that guy named Jesus. Let's see if we can put it this way. We throw around a bunch of fancy words that sound real big, big theological words that make us feel important. Gospel means good news. Good news because Jesus, that guy named Jesus, is the Christ, meaning he is the... You know what it means? It means the guy that was being talked about in Genesis chapter 5, chapter 3 and verse 15. And somebody is coming. The good news is Jesus is that guy and he came. That's the message. And he is Son of God. And he is son of man or Son of David. He's human. He's fully God. He's fully human. Which gives him the right to be able to be the Christ, which means Messiah, which means Savior, which is the good news. When and out of hope, when looking around at a world that is a mess. But as for you, remember what you have always believed. We believe that Jesus is that guy, the Christ. And we believe that he has come to be salvation for those that accept. It says there also, for I am not ashamed. Why does he say, for I am not ashamed? Well, the story for that is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. verses 22 through 24. For the Jews request a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block, to the Greeks foolishness.
What?
We preach Christ, who is Jesus, who is the Messiah, who is the one that was talked about that was coming from Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. When everything is hopeless and a mess and it's all falling apart, somebody is coming, somebody is coming, somebody is coming. The Christian gospel, the good news, not bad news, not sad news, the good news is Jesus has come to be the Christ, the Messiah. Your Bible is polite. It says the Jews consider that Jesus, the Christ, was crucified. They call it a stumbling block. That's a nice way of saying something you trip over. The word that is there in the Greek that is used to say that we gets translated or interpreted as stumbling block is a word you know well. You'll recognize the English. The word is scandalon. Does it remind you of anything? The word is scandal. We get our word scandal from it. Horror. A scandal. To the Jews, your Messiah crucified? Like a common criminal? Horrifying. But to us, it's the power of God unto salvation. To the non-Jews, that's just foolishness. Acts chapter 17, Paul is bored and he's in Athens. And he's talking to a bunch of peoples, the philosophers and the wise people of the age and the time. And they decide to humor this guy and say, they basically say, what does this hayseed have to say? What does this country bumpkin, this uneducated guy have to say about something? Foolishness. To the Jews, a scandal. To the Greeks, foolishness. A scandal. Because, I don't want to be associated with it. Kind of like Peter when Jesus needed him the most. I don't know the dude. I don't want anything to do with this. I remember as a boy. I was in elementary school. It was one of those things, some group something was having some kind of a fundraiser of some sort. And it was a bake sale. Now, as I remember these as they go, and I've been through many of them since, where we come up with this odd method of how to raise money within our schools, where we ask the parents to buy the ingredients, do the cooking to bake something, and bring it to school, and then buy it. So, you know, we come up with this process of having a bake sale, and my mom was supposed to bake something, and the things that go the best are the things that are kind of sweet. And so my mom had this little recipe that I loved the things, they were good, but they were kind of a Rice Krispies plucked together in some marshmallow stuff to get them so that when it's hot, you kind of make them, put them in the pan, and then put some chocolate on top. You know, if it's got some chocolate in it, people will eat it. And so that's basically all it was Rice Krispies and marshmallow and some chocolate on top. And I brought this thing, and when we went to school, there was somebody in the kitchen area that was keeping track of everything. And so all of us were bringing our stuff and handing it to them, and they were piling it up in the kitchen to get things, cut into proper sizes to put out to be sold. I brought my this little Rice Krispie thing with the dish and everything. What I didn't know was a few of the of my friends had watched and noticed what I brought. And toward the end of the day, after the bake sale was done, after everything was done, we were all talking about how much was raised and what was going on. And one of the kids says, "Yeah, we sold off most of the stuff that we had and we made this good money and everything went well except those Rice Krispie dishes. There was somebody that brought this miserable Rice Krispie dish and it was just a horrible thing. And it was fun to watch people's reaction. They'd take a bite out of it and their eyes would bug out and they'd look horrible and we haven't figured out for anything where they came from. Do you have any idea where they came from?" To which I, big and brave and loyal to my mom, said, "Rice Krispie dish? I have no idea, never heard of it, never saw such a thing. What are you talking about?" Christ crucified. The power of God. And what does Paul say? "I am not ashamed of the gospel." Where's the power of God unto salvation? Whatever you want, laugh all you want, call me foolish, be horrified, be angry, be mad, throw tomatoes, throw rocks, throw want. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You don't be ashamed of the gospel, because it is power, it is salvation, it is assurance, it is hope. That guy that was promised, that told Adam and Eve, "This mess will not stand. Somebody is coming to fix it." The gospel is a guy named Jesus. Is that person. And here's what he did. And here's what it means. The power of God unto salvation. John chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as received him, to them he gave," some of the translations say, "the right to become the children of God." The word is power. To them, to those who accepted Jesus, he gave the power to become the children of God. How'd he do that? Romans 8:15. By adoption to the family of God. And what does that mean? Have you ever seen? Have you ever had the experience? I was talking to somebody one time, a friend of mine. Anybody ever do the pull out the family pictures thing? You ever done that? It's easier now with the cell phone. You get the real ones rather than having to dig the old cloudy one out of your wallet. But have you ever done the family picture thing? "Hey, this is my family." You know? Have you ever seen somebody you haven't seen in a bunch of years? And you say, "Oh, show me the more currents of your family." "Oh yeah, I got it right here. This is my family. See, this is my family. My friends, this is my family. These are my kids. One of them's adopted." Well, what's the next question? Three kids there. All look pretty much the same to me. Which one's adopted? You know the answer? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. They're all my kids. I thought that was a pretty good answer. Doesn't matter. Not one mine more than the others or less than the others. Doesn't matter. By adoption the power of God unto salvation. Again, and don't let me wow you with my words. I know a few words in the Greek language. The word here, power, is the word dunamis, from which we get our word dynamite. Power. Have you ever known construction battalion to have trouble with a rock that won't move, that's in the way? There are very, very few rocks that are so anchored in the way that enough dynamite can't move it. Power to become the children of God. My friend Walt was a business executive. And in business executives, he had to go to business meetings, meet and greet with a bunch of different other business executives and people, community leaders and stuff, because he's an executive with this business, this company. And he was telling about, you know, he had worked his way up in this company, he was a business executive, but those evening meet and greets usually ended up at a bar. Now, how am I going to do this? How am I going to be able to deal with a reaction or a situation? How am I going to deal with people? I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to embarrass myself because everybody's going to have a drink. You know? Everybody's going to have a drink. You got to be carrying around a drink with you. And how am I going to do this without everybody laughing at me? And then he came up with a bright idea. He walked up to the bartender and he says, "Man, I need something strong." And the bartender named his favorite drink. And Walt says, "Well, what is it?" "Oh, it's," and he named some of the toughest stuff and a combination of stuff. And he was talking about how it was the toughest thing. And Walt says, "Man, I want something stronger than that." And the guy says, "Stronger? That's the strongest stuff I got." And Walt says, "No, it isn't. You got something a whole lot stronger than that. You got something strong enough to sink battleships. I want a water." And the guy laughed, and that was the end of that. And he said, "You know, but that line worked once. Then after that, what in the world are we going to do? How are we going to do this? How are we going to be able to do this in a way that you don't get laughed at and make a big deal?" And he was watching all these people. You know, here's all these business executives running around with this glass with some kind of a drink in it, or this or that or the other. Okay. So he got used to, he was doing it regularly. He'd go to the bartender and he'd say, "I want you to make me a cranberry juice and put some ginger ale in it on the rocks." Cranberry juice, which is one of the things they use to mix with the alcohols. And instead of the alcohol, put some ginger ale in it and put it on a couple of ice so they had something to carry around to sip on. And what do people do in these business meetings? They all talk, "Well, what do you have? What's your favorite drink? What's yours? What's yours?" And he'd say, "Oh, I got this. This is this special drink." "Oh, what is it?" "Well, it's cranberry juice and ginger ale." "What?" They said, it wasn't too long, and somebody says, "You know, that sounds pretty good." Before long, they had different people that are going on to the bartender. The bartender was getting kind of frustrated because there's all these people asking for that cranberry ginger ale cocktail. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. I don't need that stuff. I want the hardest drink in the world. It's hard enough to sink a battleship. I am not ashamed to say I believe in the Christ the power of God unto salvation. Watch the verse back to chapter 1 in Romans. The gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, just as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Where does that come from? What do you mean it is written? That means it's a quote. Where's the quote? Where's it from? If you take your Bible and go looking through the 12 little books that nobody can find, you know, can we say that? Go to Habakkuk. Little book, tiny little book, back in the back of your Old Testament scriptures, Habakkuk. If you look at it, you'll see that Habakkuk is a prophet in God's kingdom. In chapter 1, Habakkuk is looking around and he's saying, why is it that God is allowing this to happen? God's people are dealing with problems. And God's people are dealing with the problems of softness and taking the Lord for granted. Habakkuk chapter 1, the burden of the prophet Habakkuk. O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble and the plunder and violence before me? There is strife and contention. Justice never gets done. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, the perverse judgment proceeds. You ever looked around and said, it looks like the wrong side is winning? You ever had that happen? Look around and say, looks like the wrong side is winning. Now remember, this is not Habakkuk looking around, looking over there at the non and God-fearing people. He's looking at within God's people and he says, what is this? That we've got God's people are having the same problems with justice and equality and protecting the weak as it's happening out there in the world. How is this? What is going on here? God, what are you going to do about this? By the way, have you ever prayed for something? Have you ever prayed for something and been horrified to get it? That's what happens here. Habakkuk is saying, God, you need to do something about this. God, you need to do something about this. And you read a little farther in the chapter there, and it says, and God says, I've got just the way the solution to the problem. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get the Chaldeans, and they're going to come, and they're going to maraud and take over God's people. And Habakkuk kind of goes, what? You're going to do what? You're going to get who? The Chaldeans, they're worse. What are you doing, God? How are you going to get them to cause, you know, to... God, your people aren't that bad. It even gets to the point that after Habakkuk is having this conversation and this vision with God, and Habakkuk is saying, they're worse. Don't do that. That you get to chapter 2, in the first verse it says, and I will stand my watch, and I will set myself in the rampart, and I will watch to see what he has to say to me, and what I will answer when I am reproved. What does reprove mean? Can you give me a synonym for reprove? Reprove is a scolding. I remember asking that question one time to a church group. It was in a Bible study in a church group. And mentioned that. And by the way, our verse that we were looking at in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. The Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It was at that point we were having one of these discussions, and I said, what's reprove? And I got a bunch of nice answers. And I said, I think reprove means a scolding. And one lady, no, it can't mean that. It doesn't mean that. No, it can't mean God. God would never do that. And I go, oh, really? Well, you know, you've been around somebody that is so confident in what they say, and it sounds so wrong, but they're so confident that you kind of scratch your head and think, well, maybe I ought to believe it, and you know? I mean, she was so confident. I thought, boy. Now, that was back in the day. That was when I was early in my ministry, and that was before you carried a cell phone all over around that had, you know, that could look up anything, and that was before we ever heard of the word Google. And so, young people, there is this weird thing that you can laugh about. It's in the history books. It's in the, you know, you might even find people talking about it once in a while. You might even find such a thing in some weird library someplace or some antique place or whatever. It's called a dictionary. You know, so I went and I was looking in the dictionary. And oh, did I kind of go, because it said a synonym for reproof is scolding. Notice here, Habakkuk is expecting to get bawled out, is what it amounts to. He has kind of said, God, no, you don't want to do that. You don't want to bring the Chaldeans. Those guys are trouble. Don't do that. And he's expecting to get bawled out. But notice what God comes back to Habakkuk in chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And the Lord answered to me, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that we may run who read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. What's he saying? You're looking around and you think the wrong side is winning. By the way, Major League Baseball has just started up again. Started up yesterday. Professional basketball is starting up in the next few couple of weeks. Trying to get sports back through in the middle of... You know something you learn in sports? Don't count a victory until the end of the game. You can name any sport, anything. Don't count it a victory until the end of the game. On the other side of the coin, if you're behind, don't call yourself finished until it gets to the end of the game. What's God saying? Write the vision. Make it plain that you may run who read. The vision is yet for an appointed time. It hasn't happened yet. Though it tarries, wait for him. How many of us as Christians have heard that God is coming back? How many of us as Christians have heard that Jesus is coming back and he's going to make it all right? How many of us have heard that? How many of you have heard that the meek shall inherit the earth? Have you heard that? Have we seen it yet? How many look around and say, it looks like the wrong side is winning? Is there anybody here that has cried out to Lord, that has prayed, Lord, how long has anybody carried that?
Has anybody done any praying of, look around, Lord, it looks like the wrong side is winning? Has anybody prayed, Lord, it looks like your people are kind of in a rough spot? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Because by faith, the just shall live by faith. Tyler, when you're waiting, don't be a chameleon. Show your colors. The just shall live by faith. Be patient. Hold in there. The game isn't over yet. Wait and see what happens. Hold in there. But don't give up and become a chameleon because you think the game is over. Hold on. Hebrews chapter 11. The just shall live by faith. Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. By it, by faith, and the rest of chapter 11 is, by faith this one, and by faith that one, and by faith the other one, and by faith we have the stories of going down through the Old Testament of the people that lived by faith that we know of, that we've heard of, and that we're proud to hear the stories of, how wonderful they are, and how powerful their faith was, and how God blessed their faith. But it's not standalone. Any of you ever written a letter? Have you ever written a letter? How many have written a letter? Have you ever written a letter with chapters and verses in it? I haven't. Have you? Neither did the Bible writers. They wrote continuous thought. Now, I'm glad somebody came along afterwards and put the chapters and the verses in so it make it easier for us to find things. But the author didn't put it in with chapters and verses in it. It's continuous thought. Can I take you back to Hebrews chapter 10 and put a little context to Hebrews chapter 11? Notice verse 35 in chapter 10. Therefore, do not cast aside your confidence. See, here we go again. Have you ever felt like the wrong side is winning? Have you ever gotten frustrated? Have you ever said, have you ever prayed, God, how long? Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that you, after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Verse 39. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of our souls. Can we use the expression that Paul used to Timothy again? But as for you, don't be a chameleon, don't fall back, don't lose your endurance. That's not us. Those of us that believe in salvation, the just shall live by faith. By the way, look at verse 39 there again, real close. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but we are those who believe. Remember that word, circle that word, believe. We are those who believe. And then go to chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Why? I want you to notice something in the context. And let me tell you something really weird. Verse 39, the word believe. 39 in chapter 10. Verse 1 in chapter 11. Believe.
and faith, they're the same word in the original language. One's a noun, one's a verb. To believe is to have faith. To believe is an action word. Believe does not mean it's in my head and I think so. That's the way we interpret the word most of the time. That's not what it means. Believe means acted out, acting upon our faith. Belief is an action word in the Bible. To believe is to act upon. It is not to think about. Does that make sense? So when he's saying in chapter 11, the faith chapter, those who have faith do this, he's saying those who believe do this. To believe is to have faith. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by following their faith. The just shall live by action. The just shall live by trusting. Hang in there. Don't be of those that fall back unto perdition. Faith and believe are the same word. Believe is to have faith. Believe is verb. It's the action word. Believe is to act out your faith. To believe is to show one's faith by one's actions. James chapter 2 and verse 18. You believe, I will show you my belief by my actions. Don't be a chameleon. But as for me, when you're looking around, we're talking the simple, basic stuff we all know. Salvation is the power of God unto those that believe. Hang in there, the just shall live by faith. Christian people, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My future is based on who Jesus is and what he has done. The gospel is good news. The gospel is not bad news. The gospel is not sad news. The gospel is good news. Good news, there's a Savior and he has come. Good news. By grace. By God's grace, I want my faith to be seen by the way I live my life, regardless what's going on around me. Let's not be chameleons changing colors just because of the people we're around. Let's not be screaming we don't know the dude just because somebody is laughing at the Rice Krispie dish. Our salvation is based on a promise that Jesus Christ has made. And it is based on assurance that the one who made the promise can and will fulfill that promise. Amen. And it doesn't matter if I'm caught in a hovel all by myself because I can't get out because of the pandemic. And it doesn't matter if people have forgotten me. God hasn't. And our God has promised that he will never leave or forsake. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is faithful to keep that which I've committed until that day. What does Habakkuk say? Wait for it.
and watch. Because when God speaks, you will know it. And so will everybody else. Our salvation, our joint salvation, that we remember, that we're reminded of, that boring subject that gets talked about so easily and so constantly, is the power of God unto salvation. To those that believe, God is still hanging on to me. And I want to keep hanging on to Him. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we in this sinful, mixed up world were sent the best. We thank You that You sent the best. We thank You that You sent Jesus to be the Christ. We thank You that He has the power to open the grave. We thank You He has the power to adopt us to the family of God. We look around and we struggle with our hope and we struggle with our courage and we struggle with all those things, but by faith, we cling to the promise that even though it feels like it's taken longer than we think it should, that when You speak, we will know it. And by faith, we cling to that. In Jesus' name, amen.